I think my parents were mortified when I told them that I was going to try to go into vocal performance, and they were just mortified that that I even thought about it, such a thing. But I was so passionate about singing and also playing the piano, and decided that I really wanted to be an opera singer. After college, I ran off to New York City in the 70s, thinking that I was ready for, you know, fame and fortune. Went to a lot of auditions. I ended up getting a lot of music theater work in New York. And then my husband and I got together and decided to get married. He had an opportunity to move to back to Colorado. And I said, oh, well, you know, things aren't going that great for me here. I had sung performances here and there, but nothing was very steady, you know. And so I said, I'll just quit and move to Colorado Springs with you. I cried all the way across the country, through every state in between here and New York, and came to Colorado Springs saying that I would just live an ordinary life and forget about singing. Didn't tell anybody I was a singer, and was trying to forget all about all of that. But it found me. It found me right here in Colorado Springs. I sang with the symphony, and I did some oratorio work, but I was not singing any opera. And I remember giving a recital at Colorado College in 1988, and Donald P. Jenkins came to that concert and kind of was, wow, you really are an opera singer. How would you like to appear as Violetta in La Traviata for the Colorado Opera Festival? And I thought, okay, I've got one more shot at being an opera singer just for this performance. I didn't think it would go any further. And we did that performance. It was very successful for the opera festival. Nat Merrill, who was with Opera Colorado, came down to see it. There was a man who was coming through Colorado Springs on his way down to Santa Fe, and he just happened to be in the audience, and he was connected with New York City Opera. I got invited to come and audition for New York City Opera, and I got invited to do some auditions for agents, and because of that, things sort of started taking off. But then in 1991, I had an amazing good fortune. I was understudying a role for Opera Orchestra of New York. I was the second cover. Now, the second cover is like being about the fourth string. There is no way in the world you're going to get to go on. There's somebody standing in front of you who's the cover, and never mind the star who's in front of them. With a few hours' notice on the day of the performance, I got a call and said, you're going on in Carnegie Hall tonight. The star is ill, and the cover is ill. And you're next. And so I went on a few hours' notice at Carnegie Hall singing a very difficult leading role, Elisabetta in Roberto Devereux by Donizetti. I never really thought about how I was doing until the end when I walked out for my solo bow. And it was amazing, just amazing. People yelling and screaming and stomping. And I thought, well, okay, well, I guess I did okay then. It wasn't so long after that that my agents called me and said people from the Met had been there at the Carnegie Hall performance and they needed a second cover for Elvira in I Puritani by Bellini, and they wanted me to do it. It was the final three performances of that opera for the season. So I went through the first two performances and sat. I had no rehearsal on the stage. I had not had an orchestra rehearsal. During the last performance, someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, Martiel, you have to come with us during the first intermission. You have to come with us right now. You're about to go on. And I went, what? I'm about to what? And they said, the star is very ill in the ladies' room with stomach issues, and she is not going to go back on for the second act, and you're going to go on. Now, I hadn't had a costume fitting, a wig fitting, or anything. They went running around trying to find a costume. The woman who was singing that night was, about a size 2. And they had to find a costume, so they found Joan Sutherland's costume from some years before, sewed me into it, tacked me into it, tacked the hem up. And the conductor said, "Well, I don't know what your cadenzas are. Just, I'll go with you, whatever you do."
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Bolgan is ill. The Metropolitan Opera is pleased to announce that the role of Elvira will be sung by Martille Roland in her Met debut.
It was before the great mad scene in the second act I went on. I don't remember that evening except that someone in the audience made a pirate recording of it. So he came back stage afterwards and said, "I recorded it." That got me a career, really. I had a wonderful, wonderful time singing all over the world for a number of years. And all from having moved and given it up and moved to Colorado Springs. My moving to Colorado enabled me to sing because I loved it and to get better because I just wanted to see how that would feel. When I was younger, I thought, this is a road to be acknowledged. And when I came out here, I thought, you're not going to be acknowledged. You might as well just get good at it, and you might as well try to be the best artist you could be. Well, funny thing about that, I think, it's like if you work on the process and if you work on your art, then eventually, and you may be the last one standing, but eventually somebody's going to want to hear it. Somebody's going to want to buy it. By giving it up, it found me.